time for the E21 Go Sports Podcast. Now, here's your host, Easton Durant.
Hi, welcome to E21 Go Sports. I'm Easton Durant. Today's episode is sponsored by 5 C's Marketing, provided targeting social media marketing specifically for your small business. In today's episode, I'll be talking about NFL, MLB, and NBA news. Starting off, the Jaguars traded cornerback Jalen Ramsey to the Rams for two first-round picks yesterday. The Jacksonville Jaguars got a 2020 first-round pick, a 2021 first-round pick, and a 2021 fourth-round pick. The news of Ramsey's trade to the Rams comes just after the Rams traded Marcus Peters to the Baltimore Ravens in exchange for Kenny Young and an undisclosed pick in the 2020 NFL draft. Ramsey has appeared in just 3 games this season for the Jaguars, who are 2-4 through 6 games. Ramsey has missed Jacksonville's last 3 games due to a back injury, as well as the birth of his second child prior to Jaguars' Week 4 victory over the Broncos. Ramsey, who went to Nashville to be with his family during the week leading up to the game, rejoined teammates in Denver, but was inactive for the Jacksonville's victory. Trade rumors surrounding Ramsey and the Jaguars began shortly following Ramsey's sideline altercation with Jacksonville head coach Doug Marrone during the team's Week 2 loss to the Houston Texans. Ramsey reportedly requested a trade just days after the altercation. Later that week, reports surfaced that 2 teams had offered future first-round picks for Ramsey, who had played in just 1 more game with the Jaguars following his altercation with Marrone. And the Rams are unsure if Jalen Ramsey will debut Sunday versus the Falcons. But Rams head coach Sean McVay sounded empathetic that Ramsey will be needed. He said, "The goal is to be able to get him to play on Sunday. We'll be smart about it." The Rams, who are 3-3 after losing 3 straight games, are down 2 starting cornerbacks after trading Marcus Peters to the Ravens and placing Aqib Talib on injured reserve. John Johnson was also placed on injured reserve Wednesday. Troy Hill will take over the 1 starting role, and if Ramsey is unable to play, Darius Williams will fill the other. Backup safety Marquis Christian will also replace Johnson. Ramsey arrived in Los Angeles earlier today and is scheduled to undergo a physical. Despite not playing for the past 3 weeks for the Jaguars, citing a back issue, the Rams expect that Ramsey will pass his physical. Ramsey said he's excited to get to work and do my thing. The Rams sent first-round picks in 2020 and 21 and a 2021 fourth-round pick to the Jaguars for Ramsey, who requested a trade. The 5th overall pick in 2016, Ramsey is under his rookie contract through the 2020 season, which he is scheduled to earn $13.7 million. Ramsey reported the Jaguars' training camp before the season in an armored truck, indicating he was ready for a significant payday. When asked if the Rams intend to sign Ramsey to a long-term deal, GM Snead revealed no details. He said, "No timeline for that. We will put a timeline a little bit in place with it. I don't want to give too many details on that. Again, we are just meeting Jalen today. Obviously, he to date has earned a chance to probably get a nice contract for the jobs he does and the position he plays." Sean McVay, who has welcomed known personalities such as Talia Peters and Ndamukong Suh, did not appear concerned about Ramsey's apparent antics. He said, "You want guys with some swag, personality, different things like that. As those guys love football, they love competing every single day. I think this is building that suit will suit him well." In 51 starts, Ramsey has 9 interceptions and 45 pass breakups. McVay also said, "Very excited thing for us. Obviously, know the caliber of a player he is. The competitiveness, the toughness, really all the traits you look for in a corner. Those are some of the things exciting about getting him in there. Looking forward to getting to know the player and figure out how he's going to help this football team." Now, This is obviously a big trade for the Rams, because they've lost their past couple of games and are hoping to get back on track. They lost to the 49ers. A couple weeks ago. And speaking of the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan says he's moved on from the Redskins' dysfunction. As the 49ers prepare to play the Washington Redskins, coach Kyle Shanahan isn't exactly excited about returning to the nation's capital. Shanahan served as Washington's offensive coordinator from 2010 to 13, working with his father Mike, who was the head coach at the time. Today, Shanahan was asked about his favorite part of his time in Washington. He said, being able to work with my dad and be around some other good coaches. And the worst part, Shanahan said, everything else. After a brief pause, Shanahan added that he did not like working with a lot of the players. Also, it's clear Shanahan has not forgotten his terrible time with in Washington. He insists that there's no added motivation to this week against the Redskins other than trying to get his team to 6-0 for the first time since 1990. He said, no, not at all. That was a while ago. I've been in three different buildings since. My dad is retired. He's good. We've accepted what we had to deal with there and moved on. We'll watch other people deal with it. Aside from the NFC division title in 2012, Shanahan's time in Washington was marked by controversy surrounding the team. The Redskins did not have a winning record in any of those 3 years Shanahan was on staff, and Shanahan had previously made it clear that he didn't care for how the organization was run or the trade and subsequent handling of quarterback Robert Griffin III, among a variety of other issues. Moving on to other news with the Browns. Browns GM John Dorsey confirms commitment to Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield. John Dorsey reaffirmed his commitment to coach Freddie Kitchens and quarterback Baker Mayfield on Wednesday, despite the team's disappointing 2-4 heading into its bye week. Dorsey drafted Mayfield with the number one overall pick last year. Then this offseason promoted Kitchens from interim offensive coordinator to head coach. After a promising 7-8-1 record last season, expectations ballooned for the Browns when Dorsey traded for star wide receiver Odell Beckham in the spring. So far, the Browns have been terrible. They blew a 26-0 lead to Seattle in a 32-28 loss. Now, one thing that I think is weird is that Odell Beckham has not had good stats so far this year, and I think everybody is just waiting for him to complain or for him to have some kind of drama with the team. But he's 29 receptions, 436 yards, and one touchdown. 29 receptions. That's for his normal numbers. For his normal numbers, that's not good. That's not good for any wide receiver who's supposed to be as good as him. Well, I mean, in his last year with the Giants, he had 6 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, 10 touchdowns, 13 touchdowns. That's from 2019 to 2015. So you usually expect him to have some kind of complaining to do or some kind of lashing out to do at any players. Like, you don't expect DeAndre Hopkins, who has somewhat, I don't want to say better stats, but 40 receptions, 402 yards, and 2 touchdowns. You don't expect DeAndre Hopkins to be blowing up, and he's not. And he's having somewhat of a worser year not as good a year as Odell Beckham. I feel like this season has been okay for the Browns. But Dorsey said that despite the record, he's been encouraged with what he's seen from Kitchens, especially the way that the Browns played against Seattle after they came off an embarrassing 31-3 loss to the San Francisco 49ers on Monday Night Football. That was not a good game for them all in all. But Dorsey said, quote, "I think the team has responded really well. I like the offensive scheme that he's kind of developed, which was on display in the Seattle game, by putting Mayfield into a really good position to move those chains. I think Freddie has done a really good job. I love where he is right now. In terms of that first year heading label you all try to stick him with." Dorsey also declared that he is 100% convinced that Mayfield is the Cleveland's franchise quarterback of the future, despite a slow start in his second year. After finishing in the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year voting last year, Mayfield leads the league with 11 interceptions. He also ranks 33rd with a completion rate of 56.6, way down from 63.8 he posted last season. Dorsey said, "Mastering the quarterback position is very hard. Right now, defensive coordinators are probably throwing different looks that he isn't seeing, but Baker's one of those guys that he's smart enough. He's not going to make the same mistake twice. He's learning from that. I like where he is," he said. "I like his competitiveness. I love everything about him. That hasn't changed one bit. In terms of competitiveness, his ability to throw the football, I think his balls are still accurate. Everybody keeps saying that there's inaccuracy with his ball. I think he throws good football. What I really like is his teammates like him." Dorsey was also effusive in his praise of Beckham, whom the Browns have had trouble getting the ball into at times. Despite the hype he arrived with, OBJ ranks just 31st in the NFL with 29 receptions and 16th with 436 receiving yards. He only has one touchdown. Still, Dorsey noted that Beckham has impacted the Browns in other ways than passing. He said, "Is he a talented player? Yeah, he's a talented football player. If we can get the ball to him, we can get the ball to him. But let's don't force it to him. Let's win the game. That's the objective." Odell is one of those guys who's a selfless individual. I think he really does a nice job blocking. I'm happy we have him. In a couple of weeks, he's going to be back, and I can't wait to see him. He's talking about Kareem Hunt, as he will be after he's finished serving an 8-game suspension for violating NFL's personal conduct policy and has been away from the team. Dorsey said that team has been doing really well and is ahead of scheduling rehabilitating from a sports hernia injury. Yeah, what I thought that Odell Beckham would be complaining a little bit more than he has. He hasn't really complained this season, but I mean, him being double teamed every single time has led up for the running game. Nick Chubb, 114 attempts, 607 yards, 6 touchdowns. So yeah, I see that Odell Beckham is helping him a little, or is helping the team a little bit with that, being able to have defenses focus on him so that way they're not focusing on the running game and the other wide receivers. They're just busy trying to shut him down. But yeah. In other NFL news, Marcus Mariota was benched this week for Ryan Tannehill. But he accepted responsibility for the result, but it made it clear the setback doesn't mean his career is over. He said, "Until the day I die, I'm going to believe I gave it all I got, no matter what. I can learn and grow from this situation. This isn't going to break me down. This isn't going to end my career. I had an opportunity to play, but I didn't make the most of it. I am going to learn and grow from it." While it is likely that in his time with the Titans will come to an end after this season, there's still 10 games left. Mike Vrabel said he wouldn't rule anything out regarding Mariota. stressing his decision to start Tannehill for this week. He said that Mariota is 25. He will be needed in some form of the other. The decision to start Tannehill is a turnaround from the beginning of the season when the Titans placed emphasis on Mariota being the starter to quiet any noise about a quarterback controversy. Now the team finds itself in the middle of one after posting a 2-4 record and scoring one touchdown in the past two games. If the time comes when Mariota is called back under center, he vows to make the most of it. You have to be ready at any point in time, no matter what. I will just prepare as I have, and I'll be ready to go. Marcus Mariota, I think, will be back this season, and I don't think Ryan Tannehill is going to do good, and I don't know, it's Ryan Tannehill. He'll do as good as he can, or yeah. But so far this season, Mariota has 1,179 yards and 7 touchdown passes and 9 interceptions. But they've failed to score, or they've only one touchdown in the past two games. I feel like that this would have been a good week for him to be able to start versus the Chargers, because I feel like he could be able to get his game back, because he has been struggling in the other games. So I feel like the Chargers game could be his comeback game if he played. I think that it would be a good time for him to start. Moving over to NBA news. Sorry. Anthony Davis is cleared to play in the Los Angeles Lakers preseason game tonight against the Golden State Warriors. Davis tested sprained right thumb in practice on Tuesday and felt good after the Lakers morning shoot around this morning. Davis said, "Thumb feels good. We didn't do much contact stuff. We did enough where I can test it out and see how much it feels and if it felt really good." Lakers all-star big man injured his thumb in Saturday's 91-77 loss to the Nets in China and was held out of Monday's 104-98 preseason victory over the Warriors. Davis said he believed when an MRI said that. Davis said he was relieved when an MRI on his thumb came back clean. He said, "I just had some hairline fractures and stuff like that in my hand before, so I knew that it was just a jam. Obviously, just want to be cautious, but it was a relief. Obviously, you didn't want anything bad to happen where I missed time. Thank God it's not serious." Now, this next story I kind of got, but I don't know. John Calipari came out strongly against the idea that the NBA would consider expanding beyond its current draft format of two rounds. Speaking at the SEC's tip-off event today, Calipari argued that additional rounds wouldn't be for the NBA, but rather to stock its developmental arm, the G League. He said, quote, "If anybody supports more rounds of the draft, those more rounds are going to get kids to the G League. You do not care about college basketball, or you're trying to ruin college basketball." I mean, I see what it could be, because then you could be able to declare for the draft, and then you could just play with, instead of going to college, you could be playing against actual NBA, former NBA players and players that are trying to work their way up to the NBA. But this comes a day after Duke Coach K suggested more rounds in the NBA draft were a potential likelihood with the G League's increasing impact on the league. He said that he supports players' ability to go directly to the NBA at a high school, but is nonetheless wary of the G League. He said the developmental league league's current setup helps those who are playing their way back into the league, as opposed to those who are trying to enter it for the first time. He said, quote, after 2 years, they don't perform. What? The NBA is going to take care of them and hire them? No, it's entertainment. You're done, Calipari said. He stressed college was a more stable option. If they're not going to the NBA, if we're really about young people, we should encourage them to go to college. And the reason is they're way out of their education. Their way to break through the American dream is education. Calipari also addressed the new California law that allowed college athletes in the state to collect money for endorsements beginning in 2023. He challenged a room full of reporters on whether they read the law line before saying that he hadn't. He said, but I do know that there's a law in New York, there's one in Florida. How about this? Kentucky's going to have a law. That tells me there's going to be 40 laws in 40 different states. Then the team leaves. Tell me there's one place that is going to get solved, and it's Congress. It's not by the NCAA, and it's not by the states. While Calipari had long positioned himself as a supporter of college athletes having ownerships of their name and likeness, he said he worried about the next step. He said they're all kinds of consequences that have to be addressed, and I'm coaching my team. That's what I'm doing, so I'm not spending much time on it. And second to lastly in the MLB, the Los Angeles Angels have reached an agreement with Joe Maddon to make him their next manager, the team announced today. Maddon is expected to receive a 3-year contract that is $12 million to $15 million range. He will be formally introduced by the Angels at a news conference next week. GM Billy Epler said, quote, we are thrilled that Joe is coming back and bringing an exciting brand of baseball to our fans. Every stop he has made through his managerial career, he has built a culture that is focused on winning while also allowing the players to thrive. We believe Joe will be a great asset for our club, and we look forward to him leading the team to another World Series championship. Joe Maddon, who is returning to the Angels organization, which he spent the first 3 decades of his career after managing the Cubs for 5 seasons and leading the franchise to its first World Series in 108 years in 2016. Maddon said in a statement, I cannot be more excited to come back home and manage this great organization. I'd like to thank Artie Moreno, Billy Epler, and John Caprino for giving me the opportunity to add another chapter to my Angels career. I was lucky enough to be a part of the first Angels team to win a World Series title, and I look forward to the opportunity to bring Angel fans their second championship. The 3-time Manager of the Year has been linked to the Angels job ever since the team fired Ausmus on September 30th, a day after Maddon and the Cubs announced they were parting ways. The Angels finished 79-90 during Ausmus' only season as a manager, and the franchise has made the playoffs just once in the last 10 seasons, getting swept by the Kansas City Royals in the 2014 ALDS. The Angels also interviewed veteran managers John Farrell and Buck Showalter and Padres hitting coach Johnny Washington for the job, but Maddon, who's probably their best option. He's had success in the past. He's been with the organization. They know exactly what they're getting from him once they signed him. They know what he's like in the past. A bunch of the coaching staff was already familiar with him, and I think it's a great fit for Joe Maddon and the Angels. Lastly, yesterday the Nationals swept the Cardinals in the NLCS 7-4 to earn their first World Series berth. Anthony Rendon, Juan Soto, who hit back-to-back home runs, and finally it was Howie Kendricks, who was NLCS MVP. Thanks for listening to E21 Go Sports. I'm Eason Durant. You can subscribe to us on YouTube. You can subscribe to us on YouTube at E21GoSports and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at E21GoSports. Thank you.
You've been listening to the E21 Go Sports Podcast, a production of Cogger Podcast Network.